Thank you very much. I'm sorry I've missed the first part of the morning, but I trust you've had a valuable, interesting discussion. I've been invited here to outline to you the one element of many recommendations within a big report from the Land Reform Review Group that is likely to form the basis of the new Land Reform Bill coming through to the Scottish Parliament. Now, what we don't know is what elements of the many recommendations in that report are going to find their way through to the bill. And there weren't too many hints given yesterday. There were a few hints, but not that many. And one of the proposals was very much an urban proposal, and to do not with necessarily rented homes, but with vacant land. But the principles are not dissimilar. So if we sort of try and think of the urban land challenges that are the problem in Scotland today, I'm going to show you the issue about extensive vacant and derelict land. And the real problem of vacant and derelict land really across the main urban communities in Scotland and blighted land, but blighted communities as well. I'm going to argue and I'm going to demonstrate to you that one of the main reasons, in my view, is because of the failure of the land market. And the result of that is that land prices are kept artificially high by valuation methods. We also know that some owners are obstructive of new projects. We know that urban development projects can take a long time, they're very complex, and they may well be abandoned when hard times hit. And we must also recognise, and it is a key element in the proposal for compulsory sale orders, that we cannot solve this issue by looking to governments to spend a whole load of money. Those days are past. We have got to try and look for other solutions. And the compulsory sale orders that are now being considered by the Scottish Government are a solution. A very key solution to a very difficult problem that crucially would not require a huge amount of government expenditure. Well, here we have a typical view in Glasgow. That is actually directly opposite the International Financial Services District. And if we sort of blow up the sign, which is now almost falling apart, the sign actually says, you won't be able to read it at the back, but it says, proposed mixed-use waterfront development. The sign is so old that even the sign is falling to bits. So you have a piece of land that is bang opposite one of the major city centres of this country, and it has lain in that state for quite a long period of time. And I want to argue to you that the problem is not a planning problem, because the City Council is prepared to give permission for a major mixed-use waterfront development, if that's what the owners want. The problem is a valuation and ownership problem, and that is what we've got to cut through, and that is what we've got to deal with. So here is moving from a single site, here are the aggregate statistics. And this is the total amount, according to the Scottish Government figures, of vacant and derelict land in Scotland, going from at the left-hand side, 1996, all the way through to last year, 2014. And you'll immediately say, well, there's not been a lot of change. There's sort of a bit of a dip in the early years, bit of sort of going up again when the credit crunch hit, but the bulk of the picture is exactly where it was 15, 20 years ago. Now, that disguises a little bit of sort of outflow, some sites being developed and some new sites becoming vacant or derelict. But what people don't really understand is we've got this hangover from years ago of deindustrialisation of vacant and derelict land in Scotland, and nobody's really doing much about it. That's where it's concentrated. There's an outlier at the bottom, which is Highland. And the reason Highland has the largest amount is it's accounted for very largely by two huge military airfields. So let's forget Highland for the time being. apologies if anyone here is from Ireland, but it is not sort of similar picture as where it is concentrated of the other five authorities, Fife, Renfrewshire, Glasgow, North Ayrshire, North Lanarkshire. So that is where the bulk of vacant and derelict land in Scotland is concentrated. And here, interestingly enough, is a little bar chart that shows us that it's actually concentrated in some of the most deprived parts of Scotland. So on the left-hand side, we have deciles, the most deprived deciles, all the way through to the least deprived. And you can see that in the most deprived parts of Scotland, 50% of people are living within 500 metres of a derelict site. In the least deprived, then it's way down. And the dark brown just tells us that it's getting worse, that more people are having to live closer to dereliction. Now, I want to just talk you through a major study we did in the mid-1990s, and we repeated that in 2011, because what we have here is a problem of what we call hardcore vacancy. It's not cyclical in that the economy starts to boom and we all get rid of it. It's stuck, it's hardcore. It's sites that have been vacant and derelict for at least 10 years, and in many cases, 30 years, believe it or not. So, this was a cross-border study. It was two cities in Scotland and two cities in England. And we looked at 80 very large redevelopment sites to test out the importance of ownership and valuation constraints. We went back 2 or 3 years ago, and of those 80 sites, only just over half had actually been fully developed. And bear in mind that in the intervening period, we'd had one of the most booming times that the UK economy had experienced since the Second World War. And yet, here we have the hangover of vacant and derelict sites. Those were the cities. And you can see that the red is the cities that it is stuck. And in each of the cities, slightly more in Dundee, slightly more in Nottingham Stoke, a quarter of these sites were absolutely stuck. Nothing had happened. I'm going to show you one. I'm going to show you a couple, actually. So here I realize this is south of the border, but the principles are exactly the same north of the border. Right, Nottingham East Side. Let's start with today, because today, there it is, a lovely bit of wasteland. This is within a mile of the city centre of Nottingham. Again, a very prosperous core city in England. So let's sort of go back to 1990, and we have a wonderful proposal for major mixed-use office development with extending the canals and waterfront. Nothing happened to that. 2004, another brilliant proposal, this time computer-aided model. Design model, and you can see very promising, lots of headlines, newspaper. Nothing happened with that. 2011, we resort to a large Tesco. Actually, nothing happened with that either. And so this is what we have: a major piece of wasteland south of the city centre, which has been in exactly that position for 25 years almost. And this is the problem we have to deal with. Now, it's not necessarily a planning problem, because actually, no one needs to twist the arm of Nottingham City Council to give planning permission for... This major scheme actually did get planning permission. Could have gone ahead. Here's a nice piece of derelict land in Stoke-on-Trent. Now, I don't know, we've been investigating derelict land in Stoke-on-Trent, but the key thing is how much is it worth? So let's take what the owner said. And this is going back some years, but the principles are exactly the same. So when we went to see the owner, £860,000 was what the owner was asking for that piece of land. So we started to try and disaggregate how you came to that. Well, he thought that the open market value was £600,000, but he would probably accept £500,000 if you handed it over today. Well, how did he get to his £500,000? Well, he wanted to cover his original purchase price. He'd spent 60,000 on various bits of expenditure in the meantime.